You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns and follow the latest news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Vic Carucci, Nate Dogg Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. This is the time of the show when we bring in our good friend, Jerod Cherry. Hello, Jerod.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
How you doing?
Doing very well.
So we had this discussion, and it's a bigger discussion than we'll get into as we move forward, but the legacy of Peyton Manning and where does it leave him on the list of all-time great quarterbacks. Have you pondered this in the last 24 or 48 hours?
I had it figured out once the Super Bowl commenced, but I'll go on to say he confirmed it after it was over with. So for me, he's not in the top five, in my opinion. Definitely not number one, since I won't even
definitely
put him in the top
Definitely not number
five.
One, agreed.
So I'd say I can put him somewhere in the 6, 7, 8 range somewhere in there if I really thought about it, but he's definitely not in my top five.
So if he wins the Super Bowl, if
still
he
not.
Won that game, where does he go?
He still wouldn't be. He has to get 3 to 4 to start getting in my top five.
So who are in your top five?
And one guy's in there who did win a Super Bowl. Dan Marino played against the guy, and I just saw him do some amazing things. So I put him at 5. I put Terry Bradshaw at 4. The guy won 4 Super Bowls. I put Tom Brady at number 3. I put Elway at number 2 because John Elway could do everything. And then I put Joe Montana at number 1.
Joe Montana. He's my number one as well.
He's a smart guy that you're
right. He is good. But Dan Marino gets in there.
Yeah, exactly.
But wouldn't you
like
say, okay, so if Dan Marino gets in there with no Super Bowls, you're saying that his body of work in the regular season.
No Super Bowl wins. He got 2 aces.
He got 2-1. Well, Peyton's gotten to 3. Right. Is better than Peyton Manning's body of work in the regular season?
No, it's not, Nathan. At the same time, though, I could throw that right back at you and say, in the 80s, when he played primarily, and some
for sure.
in the 90s, that it was a much more physical brand of football.
That's
and
yes.
Duper
yes.
and Clayton
Harder
were getting
to...
held left and right.
Yep.
And you could beat a guy up going down a football field, and he still was able to mass those numbers.
Yep. Yeah.
So you might want to add 10 to 20,000 more yards onto his numbers if he was playing today.
Harder to play the position and harder to play receiver and harder to do anything in the passing game.
I did an analysis for this for Fantasy Football a while ago when I looked at, you know, his numbers as relative to the average versus, you know, what Peyton had done. And it was pretty close based on what Peyton did like this year with the 5,555 touchdowns. But yeah, no question. Dan Marino in today's game, it's a joke. You put him on a team like if you put Dan Marino on the Detroit Lions with Calvin Johnson in a dome, it's a joke.
Yeah,
he's great. There are a lot of great quarterbacks. That's what's so great about this
game.
And
I guess for me, because when you play against a guy, and I played against Peyton too, that's where you really formulate your opinion. Because you know, don't get me wrong, Peyton makes some fantastic
throws. You guys had a mind
throws,
advantage
I'm telling
over
you,
him
man, one time,
time
I had a receiver so D'd up, O.J. McDuffie.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying to myself, there is no way, and you know what, this guy is throwing his football. He made this catch with my fingertips literally been a millimeter away from the football. No reason whatsoever to throw that ball. And I was like, man, this guy's a truth. Made me look bad, but I had to give him his respect. He was a truth.
Jerod, let's talk about Kyle Shanahan now, the new offensive coordinator. It's official, of course. Going to introduce him later this week, I guess, officially to the media. When you think about him joining this team and the dynamics that go from there, how do you see it? I mean, do you feel that this is going to be the right fit now that it's official? And we've seen this coming, but are you feeling good about it?
I feel good about it, Vic, but I probably feel good about it for different reasons than most. Because in my mind, I was under the impression that okay, Kyle Shanahan, because of what I was told, the interview didn't go that well. He was somewhat combative in regards to what he felt about the firing of Chudzinski. So upon hearing that, I formulated, hey, these guys don't want to hear a dissenting voice. Now, if they called him back, and that is true that he was a dissenting voice, not for the sake of being a dissenter, but just keeping it real and shooting straight from the hip, you know I appreciate guys like that. And if they allowed a guy like that in the building, that's a good sign of maturity and not feeling threatened and saying, you know what, we need to take an honest look at ourselves and say what's going on and what's really going on. So if that was the case and all that transpired and they still brought him in the building respects what he can do from a football standpoint, you got to applaud the decision to bring him in.
Knowing the success he's had with a pure pocket passer, a statuesque quarterback like a Matt Schaub, leading him to almost 4,800 yards passing back in 2009, and then also the success that he had with, of course, Robert Griffin III in 2012 when he was the most efficient quarterback in the league, not the same type of a guy. Given that, who are the quarterbacks that you're looking to pair with Kyle Shanahan for the Browns in this draft class, how would you rank those prospects coming out as fits for Kyle Shanahan?
As fits for Kyle Shanahan, I can see him working well for Teddy Bridgewater because Teddy seems to have all those characteristics. He can stand in pocket, but he has ability to move around if need be. Johnny Manziel, that scares me because of what I've heard from reports regarding his relationship that's being Kyle Shanahan's with RG3, and we all know the Don McNabb situation was a huge debacle, that scares me as well because of a large and big personality. So Bridgewater seems to fit that more so, and Burroughs comes across as a more of a humble person as well. So between Burroughs and Bridgewater, I think they would be a better fit because Kyle Shanahan is about having it go his way. I have three or five step drop. You better do that three or five step drop.
And Gerard Cherry visiting us, as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gerard, as you also look at how this team would draft, particularly with the running back position, that was something we talked about today, zone blocking scheme,
right.
You've been familiar with defending it. What are some of the key elements to building it?
Well, I think you have the offensive line in place now to build it, Vic, because we don't have guys that are going to chew, mash you, and grind you into the dirt. We have guys really essentially have been playing finesse. Have guys that should have been playing in a zone scheme but have been trying to do man blocking, and it hasn't worked. That's hence why you have guys only averaging 2-point-something yards per carry. So I think the zone situation would be perfect because we don't have oversized linemen, in my opinion. Now, the guards may be a little bit small, but they're not, like I said, big guys. So you're like, wow, they're just chew-mashing guys. Man, I went back old school now.
That was. I like that.
Yeah. Chew-mash. But with that being said, I think it would be a perfect combination to help this offensive line get more confidence and rely on each other as opposed to trying to do the man-on-man thing because it has not worked the past 2 years.
It's not been a success.
Not even
I would
close.
Agree with that.
Gerard, thank you, my friend.
No problem, guys. Go out there and chew-mash somebody.
I love this quarterback.
Peyton Manning out of the top five.
Dan Marino, he's right on it. We're
I love Dan Marino, but would you – Dan Marino, John Elway, I think that's an interesting discussion.
And then you got the idea that Elway in the latter part of his career was kind of a better quarterback than the early part. He was in – you know, once he got with Shanahan, he played a heck of a lot better than he was with Dan Reeves.
Let's get a quarterback with the Shanahan here.
So there you go. We got that to look forward to. We want to thank Jim Donovan for being part of this show. We want to thank, of course, Gerard Cherry for his usual contribution. Want to thank Megan Rock for tweeting throughout here, and she's going to be posting the Browns Daily Wrap that will be appearing on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Jason Gibbs, for putting all of this together. And for the Nate Dogg. My name is Notorious.
It is. Notorious V.I.C.
I can't say that with a straight face.
All right.
Do we have a message for the kids, by the way? Oh, no, we'll save that.
We'll save that. We'll save that for
the kids' club.
They could be home by now.
Maybe some of them are off the bus.
They'll be
kids.
Our VIPs.
No, we'll tell them tomorrow. Our VIPs. All right, it's Hooley and Gerard coming up next. Bruce Hooley, Gerard Cherry. And this has been Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.